coast to coast all across the United States and Canada. This is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank serves as president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry that is here because truth matters. If you'd like to talk to Hank, then call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, good to be with you as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question answered on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. You can contact us via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, on the World Wide Web at equip.org, and via the phone when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. Hard to believe, but we've already had a month and a week pass by us in the year 2011. And we are now glued to our television sets watching turmoil unfold in Egypt. I was arrested by an article in the forum of USA Today. That article by Joseph Bottom, by the way, he is a contributing editor to the Weekly Standard, says that perhaps the situation in Egypt will resolve itself peacefully, or perhaps we'll see a long stretch of public unrest before the nation finally stumbles its way into a new form of stable government. But there's one easy prediction to make. Whatever else happens, Egypt's Coptic Christians are going to be hurt unless the United States makes a major diplomatic effort to help them. The article goes on to say that the current unrest began with a car bomb in Alexandria killing 21 at a Coptic church on January 1st and continued through the massacre of 11 Christians in the village of Sharona on January 30. It was ironic, just before I was reading this article, I was thinking about some of the persecution I personally endured as a result of standing for truth, no matter what the cost. And then I read this article, and immediately fell to my knees thinking, there's persecution and there's persecution. Egypt's Christians are hardly alone in their persecution. Catholic bishop stabbed to death in Turkey. That's one of the headlines we read not all that long ago. Here's another. Islamist hardliners in Indonesia target Christians. Here's another. Iraq Christians mourn after church siege kills 58. The Christmas season saw 48 killed in Muslim attacks in Nigeria. On Christmas Day, Iran opened its campaign against conversions by arresting dozens of evangelicals. Bombs left on the doorsteps of Christian homes in Iraq killed 2 and injured 14 this past December 30, 5 weeks ago. The article goes on to say that the single most dangerous thing in the world to be right now is a Christian in a Muslim country. Up to 1.4 million of Iraq's Christians have fled since the war began in 2003. And American foreign policy has been little concerned with religious persecution. Barack Obama has systematically watered down U.S. diplomacy, where we once demanded freedom of religion, a public liberty. We now speak only of freedom of worship, a lesser and private right. Nearly every day since Christmas, Christians have been murdered, attacked, for one simple reason, and that is they are Christians. Our willful blindness, says Richard or Joseph Bottom, our willful blindness is shameful. Our inactivity is wrong. The United States must preface every diplomatic exchange with an Islamic country by demanding religious liberty and a halt to persecution. And we need to do it now, while there are still a few Christians left to defend in their ancient homelands. All of us, as we participate on the Bible Answer Man broadcast today by listening or calling in, need to be aware that even as we speak, there is real persecution going on around the world. And we must not only pray for the persecuted church, whether in Asia or Africa or even in America. We must pray for the persecuted church, and we must simultaneously recognize that the church has always been forged in the cauldron of persecution. That's when real Christianity manifests itself. It's when real Christianity impacts empires. It's why in China right now, there may be as many as 130 million Christians growing and thriving in the cauldron of persecution, not looking to mean earthly vanities, but elevating their gaze to eternal verities. It is time for us in America to begin living with eternity in mind, and if we do, we may well make a difference, not just for time, but for eternity. If we do, we'll stop listening to the conspiracy theorists who are concocting all kinds of conspiracy theories on television, watched by millions of Christians, the kind of conspiracy theory that titillates, sensational, great for ratings, but in truth does very little for the cause of Christ. Well, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Lindsay, listening on WCRV in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Lindsay.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I've had this question that's been bothering me for a long time, and the question is, you know, Jesus said, you know, don't be afraid of these things that come to pass in the world. Don't, you know that we'll have wars, know that these things will happen. How do you know what you're supposed to be driven into changing and what you're supposed to leave alone and what is the will of God and what is not the will for him to change himself? That's my struggle with
that
question.
Yeah, well, you have essentially two things. One, we have the Great Commission. We are called to change hearts through the preaching of the gospel. That is a commission that each one of us has, and we are assured of one thing: if you change the heart, you change the culture. As the heart goes, so goes the culture. That's the real systemic answer to changing any culture, but we're also called to tend the garden. So while we are called to the Great Commission, we are equally called to the Great Commission that we have been given as a commandment to take care of the earth that God has given us. And when we do that, we recognize that we have a responsibility in every realm of society. We have a responsibility in the arts. We have a responsibility in education in general. We have a responsibility in government. There's not one square inch of this world that is not God's, over which he does not cry, that is mine.
Here's the other part that I wanted to say was, so we should try to change everything we see that is wrong, and the things we can't change, we just, you know, the things that we fight are the things that we try so hard, and the people we try so hard to save. If you make the effort to save them, your best, you know, human effort with the help of the Holy Spirit, that's all that you can do. But you're called to make the effort when you see something wrong, whether you have the power to change it or not, right?
Yeah, we're called to be faithful. We're not even called to win. We're simply called to be faithful and fruitful, to use our time, talent, and treasure for the extension of his kingdom, and recognize that his kingdom is not only in the now growing to fill the earth, but one in which there will be an everlasting dominion as we reign with the King for all eternity. So we are to count our lives not worthy, even unto death. We are to make a difference while there is yet time.
And what I'm saying is, even if you tried and you couldn't change it, is that the way that God wanted it? That he wanted you to try even if you couldn't change it?
That's the point. The point is, okay, we need to be faithful. It's not about we need to win. It's about need to be faithful daily stewards of the time, talent, and treasure that God has given us.
Okay. All righty.
Lindsay, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Bless you. Back to the phone lines. Victor next, listening in Kansas. Hi, Victor.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I've enjoyed and appreciated your ministry for many years, since about 1995, and had the pleasure of meeting you at up in Sacramento when you were up there speaking,
yes,
around 1995, and then also out in Irving.
Oh, yes.
A couple of years ago at a debate,
which
was very interesting. So, but thank you very much for your ministry.
You got it.
Hank, I had a question about a group that that I've heard of, and just wondered if you, it's called the Walk to Emmaus, and I wondered if you had had any background on that and any thoughts. Is that something that is that one should be hesitant about in signing people up or getting people interested in that within a church setting, or do you know anything about that?
Yeah, we have a three-paragraph statement on the Walk to Emmaus. It's designated as a 72-hour mini-retreat sponsored by the Upper Room, which is a unit of the Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church. And the statement points out that there have been various concerns that have been raised over the years, such as secrecy about the content that is shared, the liberal tendencies of the Methodist Church. And because these walks are emotionally intense and experience-oriented, and I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast that experiences are notoriously unreliable, these experiences oftentimes confuse and might not have the foundation necessary in terms of certain Christians to be able to assimilate those experiences in a positive way. However, we also point out in this this statement from the Christian Research Institute, we point out that there have been many Christians that we have talked to over the years who have benefited from participating. So I don't think that you can broad brush this particular subject. There have been Christians that have benefited greatly. Maybe it's because of their own spiritual maturity. Maybe it's because of the particular speakers that were at the particular Walk to Emmaus event. I don't know. But anecdotally, we have talked to a good number of people who have benefited from this. So we throw out the caution not to broad brush the Walk to Emmaus, but simply say, here are a few things you might want to be aware of.
Right. Have you had any experience with people who, or churches that have been, have suffered division as a result of that?
Well, we've heard about it. I've heard about it personally over the years. I went to one of these retreats many, many years ago. I would imagine it was somewhere around 20 years ago or something like that. I can't remember exactly when it was at this point, as I'm talking to you. At least I'd have to go back and think about it for a while. But I have heard of such things, and I personally had a negative experience when I went through a Walk to Emmaus type. Maybe it was even a prototype back then. I can't remember. But I've heard about it, but I've also, as I said, on the other side of the coin, I've heard some people with very beneficial comments about what they experienced. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Statement available through the Christian Research Institute. Be right back.
Right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, you've heard Hank Hanegraaff interview outstanding contributing writers to the award-winning Christian Research Journal. Well, now we've put the best of these interviews from 2010 into one exciting audio CD. For your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we will send you The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism with the truth about objective morality. Answer the accusation often raised by militant atheists that the killing of the Canaanites was God's ethnic cleansing. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact. To order The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. But don't change the station. Hank will be right back in a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, is an equipping audio CD from the Christian Research Institute compiled from 6 insightful interviews on the Bible Answer Man. For your gift this month, we will send you this helpful CD as our way of saying thank you for your faithful prayers and support. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism with the truth about objective morality. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact, and much more. Get your copy of The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, when you support the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org.
passion and purpose at the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But we need ministry partners to both pray for our work and to partner with us financially. Would you consider joining the Bible Answer Man support team? These monthly donors are the backbone of our financial support for our broadcasts, publications, and outreach activities. To stand with these dedicated ministry partners, call CRI today at 888-7000-274. You can also join the support team or find out answers to your questions by going to our safe and secure website at equip.org. We now return to today's program. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next, go next to Billy listening on WHVN in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was wondering, there's a verse someplace in the New Testament that says that we have a spirit of discipline. Can you shed some light on that? Because I don't know what it means.
Well, I don't know that I specifically can come up with a verse that says that. Maybe there is one, and I'm not aware of it, but there is a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that tells us that the Spirit of God gave us a spirit that doesn't make us timid, but a spirit that gives us power and love and self-discipline. So I think, in essence, 2 Timothy, written by Paul, makes that point.
Okay. All right, I've got another question for you. Is James 5:20 says, remember this in the NIV, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and a cover over a multitude of sins. Whose sins are covered here?
Well, you're covering your own sins and covering their sins as well. A multiplicity of sins are being covered, because we are told in Scripture that we are wise if we lead people to righteousness. We are also recognizing that those who are led to righteousness are wise. And with respect to leading people to righteousness, in your earlier question about a spirit of discipline, let me say this. Spiritual disciplines are, in effect, spiritual exercises. And this is the day after Super Bowl Sunday, but it reminds me of a football coach, Tom Landry, who used to say the job of a good football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to achieve. In much the same way, Christians are then called to make themselves do something they would not ordinarily do in order that they might become what they've always wanted to be, that they might become like Jesus Christ. And that's the problem with contemporary Christianity. It is that a vast majority of Christians have never made the transition from declaration to discipleship. They have never become slaves to righteousness. And if you read C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, Uncle Screwtape is displeased with Wormwood because his patient has become a Christian. But there's hope. Why? Because, as Screwtape explains, all the habits of the patient, both mentally and bodily, are still in our favor. Screwtape knew full well that converts who failed to embrace spiritual discipline, who failed to embrace discipleship, would likewise fail to become genuinely Christ-like. Put another way, unless and until a convert becomes a slave to righteousness, there is no need whatsoever for the forces of darkness to be alarmed. We need to make that transition from declaration to discipleship, becoming slaves to righteousness, embracing the spirit of discipline, as you asked in the first place. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Craig, listening in Vancouver, British Columbia. K-E-R-I. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I totally dug your last your last answer to that caller's question. That was great.
Well, thank you.
Edified me as well. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. My question is falls along the lines of we're commanded to be salt and light. And I'm wondering how that can be exemplified on the political stage. When certain truths come to light, but you can see that they're not conveyed to the general public, I'm wondering how what our responsibility is in light of that.
Well,
for example, you can watch National Geographic or Oasis or Discovery Channel, and they have a lot of good stuff on it until they start teaching you that how everything evolved and how the theory of evolution is true, and they teach it as truth. But in your heart, you know that none of it makes sense, and the only thing that really does make sense is a designer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Craig, this is a perfect time to underscore the fact that we need to know how to discern. Discernment skills are really at a premium in an age in which internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. It's critical that we learn discernment skills, and certainly when it comes to, you know, not just a apologetic issue, but the apologetic issue. How one views their origins determines how they live their life. And unfortunately, in the venues you just mentioned and many others, they start with the evolutionary hypothesis. They start with the idea that nothing created everything and expect everybody to lockstep buy into it. If you're a professor, you don't dare say anything else unless you have tenure. Then you might venture out on that limb. But if you don't have tenure, you don't want to mention that because you're likely to lose your job.
Yeah, okay, and that's true. We're brought up with that in our public school system, and if you say anything to the contrary, you're ostracized.
Yeah.
But my concern is more in mainstream news media where people get their news and they believe that all that they hear in the news is true, and that's propagated as well. When they start... virtually everything. They come out with you with a bunch of good truths that people can see and follow along with, but then they spin it. And then people buy that spin. It's a great deception that people fall into. And I'm thinking of climate change, for instance, and global warming and all that, and 9/11 and it being an inside job and how that was spun, and a lot of other propagated material that's important in this world. And I'm wondering how we as Christians should respond to all that. Because, well, what I'm really thinking of is Christ says that when you stop becoming salt, when you're no longer salt and you lose your saltiness and you're no longer being a preservative in a world that's prone to moral decay, then you're worth, then you deserve nothing to be cast out and trampled under by men. And I'm worried that sort of thing might be taken literally, or could be taken literally.
Yeah, and let's take global warming, for example. We're talking about discernment skills, what we should be able to do. Well, we should be able to ask the right question and then ask the right question in the right order. And the initial question we might ask is global warming a reality? And try to answer that by looking at the evidence. The second question is, if the globe is warming, is human activity behind that warming? The third question you can ask is global warming necessarily bad? So learn to ask the right questions. Because as you point out, there's a lot of sensationalism, there's a lot of sophistry, there's a lot of sloppy journalism, and there is a lot of spin. And we need to be very careful that we consider the cost of having our eyes on the wrong ball. If we participate in promoting political policies involving trillions of dollars, there should be convincing evidence that global warming is, as Al Gore contends, the most pressing problem facing the planet. Because if we have our eyes on the wrong ball, then there are a lot of very important political measures that remain unfunded. In fact, I wrote about that in a little booklet. It's on critical thinking. It's on discernment. It's called How Should You Think About Global Warming?
Oh, I see.
And this applies to many of the other subjects that you allude to.
I see. Well, I think that it's good that we have the internet because there's alternative news sources out there like Alex Jones and InfoWars, and he puts a different perspective on things. And I think that they can be investigating a lot of what he says. Like he brought to light Climate Gate, and that can be looked into, and people can look at things more discerningly, or at least they can see things from a different angle.
Yeah.
But I'm worried about what the Bible says about strong delusion, that the Lord gave them over to strong delusion so that they could believe a lie. And I see that a lot of lying is going on.
You bring up the internet.
I want to know what my place is in all that.
Well, you bring up the internet, and you're right. The internet is, a lot of positives to the internet, certainly. We don't want to diminish the value of the internet. But on the other hand, we need to learn, again, what I started out saying to you, discernment skills, because internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. So we need to learn discernment skills. So when we go to a website or we talk about a website or we influence someone with a particular website, we are pointing them in the right direction. I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm so delighted as president of the Christian Research Institute to be talking about equip.org on an ongoing basis, because the information that you find there is vetted, and therefore you can trust the information. If we don't know, we'll tell you. If we do know, we will tell you. And if there are two sides of the coin, we'll let you know about that as well. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bob listening on KERI, Bakersfield, California. Hi, Bob.
Hi. First, I wanted to comment real quickly. I really appreciated you speaking out against the pre-tribulation rapture, because in 30 or 40 years or more, I don't recall one program I've ever heard that spoke against the rapture. They have everybody believing we're going to be caught up before things get tough, and yet, like you were pointing out at your beginning of the program today, which I really appreciated too, all of the Christian persecution, it's just a matter of time when it eventually, finally comes here too. But people aren't going to be prepared, because they've all been told we won't be around because they say Christians won't be persecuted. Well, I don't know what they think is going on right now.
Exactly.
So I really appreciate that.
Exactly.
And then in your comments on the walk to Emmaus, I've never done it, but I've certainly heard people say how inspiring it was to them. And I thought your comments were very vague as to help me to understand what are they likely to tell me that I shouldn't hear?
Yeah. Well, basically what I said is that there are two sides to the coin. And the evidence, by and large, is fairly anecdotal. And there's a reason for that. There's a secrecy about the content shared.
What do you mean by secrecy? They're telling you things and they'll tell you not to tell anybody else? Or
exactly.
What?
That's exactly what
really
happens.
I've never heard that.
Well, I've experienced it personally.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And as far as the Bible Answer Man broadcast is concerned, we do what we do because truth matters. I will tell you one thing I will never do. I will never tell you something out of expediency, to be politically correct, to be popular. We do what we do because truth matters. We'll be right back with more of your questions on the other side of the break. So please don't touch that dial.
The Christian Research Journal is a one-of-a-kind magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with trustworthy content you can depend on. Get a biblical perspective on current events, religious movements, and cultural trends, and gain the discernment skills you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after this.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in scripture interpretation. Now available in softcover. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to our secure website at equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The millennial generation seeks to grasp moments of experiential transcendence from the offerings of consumer culture. By following the culture's life script, young adults place themselves at the center of a disenchanted universe, making themselves idols. Get a better understanding of Generation Y in the article titled Looking Under the Surface of the Millennial Generation. Friedrich Nietzsche is the patron saint of postmodernism and may currently be the most influential of the great philosophers. Learn how to respond to Nietzsche's anti-God, anti-truth philosophy in Hendrik van der Breggen's article Awakening from the Nightmare. Other topics include Mormon evangelism, theistic evolution, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
At the Christian Research Institute, we appreciate your support. Through your faithful prayers and contributions, you enable us to continue broadcasting and producing materials that are making a difference in the lives of people around the world. For your gift this month to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we will send you The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, an audio compilation of 6 insightful interviews with leading experts and contributors to the Christian Research Journal covering crucial topics such as the biblical concept of family, atheism and morality, the killing of the Canaanites, evolution, biblical grounds for divorce, and a thoughtful examination of social media. To order the Forefront audio CD for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, give us a call at 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I need many of you to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. I have been mentioning that all year. Last month, we only had a dozen or so people join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. I'm asking you to step up to the plate and be one of those making a difference for time and for eternity so that we can continue to do what we do. We have a tremendous opportunity to make a change, to reach people, to equip people, to edify people, to exhort people, and we ask you to be part of the process. You can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team online at equip.org. Even if it takes some perseverance, go to the web at equip.org and join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. Some can give $25, some $50, some $100 a month. That's between you and the Lord, but you can make a difference through a ministry that is, in fact, making a difference as a team member. Join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. Please do it today at equip.org. It's the safe, secure way of giving. Again, on the web at equip.org, or you can simply start giving via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. When you do, please let me know. Slip in a little note. It doesn't have to be more than a sentence or two, letting us know you want to join the monthly support team so we know we can count on you. You can also do so verbally on the phone lines when you dial 888-7000-CRI. We've got to have a much better month this month than we did last month, and so I ask you to join us to make a difference while there's yet time. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Will. He's listening at XM 170, Toledo, Ohio. Hi, Will.
How you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. First of all, I'm going to put my question, hopefully you can take it in the perspective of a believer. I'm a believer. My question is the Bible the Word of God? Because and the reason I ask is because the Lord specifically said in the Word that my Word have I written in your heart. And why this concerns me is for two reasons. Number one, you can do any type of digging, very light digging, and you can find out the lifestyle like King James lived, who's obviously written the best-selling version of the Bible. And secondly, because in the end of Revelations, he talks about let no man add anything to this book or take anything away, which means that it is possible that somebody can add something to it or take something away from it. So my question is the Bible the Word of God, or is it something that we use as a resource to lead us to His Word?
Well, thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee is not suggesting that the Bible is not the Word of God. It is suggesting that we ought to hide the Word of God, write the Word of God on the tablet of our consciousness so that we do not sin against Him. We should memorize the Word of God, not only get into the Word of God, but get the Word of God into us. As far as Revelation 22 is concerned, where John writes, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. This is an admonition that we are not to add to what is commanded, not subtract from what is commanded, but keep the commands of the Lord our God. We shouldn't change or alter the Word of God, but we should keep the Word of God. God inspired men to write down what He commanded them to write down, and oftentimes they wrote beyond what they understood. And that's why Peter writes, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So this is not in any sense telling us that the Bible is not the Word of God. We have all the evidence in the world that it in fact is the Word of God. How do we know? Well, we have manuscripts. God has marvelously preserved His Word through manuscript evidence. Now, there are mistakes in the manuscripts, but there are so many manuscripts that through the science of textual analysis, you can get back to the original, the autographa, which we call the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. On top of that, it turns out that what was once concealed in the soil is accurately revealed in the Scripture. So the details, the descriptions, the particulars, the persons are correctly communicated in the Word of God, giving us assurance that God has marvelously preserved His Word over time. Not only so, but there are prophecies made in the Old Testament marvelously fulfilled in the New, not to mention Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in the Old Testament and New Testament prophecies fulfilled in the New Testament, all demonstrating that this marvelous repository could not have been constructed by willful deceit, good guessing, or chance. So we can know that the Bible is divine as opposed to spirit, to merely human in origin, and we can recognize the truth of what the Bible actually says. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, the last thing that you mentioned was translations. Remember, translations have to do with different ways of communicating the Word of God, going from one language to a receptor language. There are some translations that choose to do it a thought for thought fashion. There are other translations that use more of a formal equivalency, and as a result of that, they do it in more of a word-for-word fashion. But that's a stylistic issue. This has nothing to do with the integrity of what we are reading in our modern Bibles.
Okay. If I understand you correctly, your response, how do we even justify not all Scripture, like some will call them the lost books, not being included in our traditional Bible?
Well, we don't call it Scripture. We don't call pseudepigraphal books Scripture. We call them non-canonical Scriptures. We don't call the Apocrypha Scripture. We certainly say it has a lot of worth. We can learn a lot from it. I've been enjoying the Apocrypha as I've been studying the book of Daniel. It has given me great insights into the book of Daniel, but I don't consider it to be on the same level as the book of Daniel or other scriptures. So certainly we can learn from these books, but there are principles by which we can determine something which ultimately doesn't have its origin in the will of man. So the word determine applies to God and not to men. We only discover what God has determined. Now, there are principles by which we discover that, and we call those the laws of canonicity, canon having to do with a rule or a measure. So there are principles by which we discover what God has determined as his word to his people.
Very good. Thank you so very much. Thanks for clearing that up for me.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone line. Stephen next, a Canadian listener in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Hank.
Hi.
Thank you for all the great insights you share regarding the scriptures.
Thank you.
My question has to do with the persecutions that you mentioned at the top of the introductory commentary of this program. What is the right way for Christians to respond, especially with the type of killings that has been happening in Nigeria, which is known to be sponsored by certain Islamic movements from places like Iran, Egypt, and other places? What is the right way for Christians to respond in those attacks that lead to killings of entire family members?
Yeah, well, a couple of things, and I want to answer that question directly, but I think it's important to have some prologue to an answer, and that is, think about the early Christian church, which grew up in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. So in that particular culture, you had to say, Caesar is Lord. In some cases, you had to say, Caesar is Savior, because it's only through the Caesar cult that one ultimately can be saved. Christians were not willing to do that. When they were baptized, the first thing they said was, Christ is Lord. And as a result of that, they were persecuted, they were killed, but yet they lived with eternity in mind. Now, was it wrong for them to use a defensive weapon to protect themselves? Was it wrong for them to protect the innocent against an aggressor, the greater good being to save a life as opposed to losing a life? So there are cases that I'm sure in the first century, like Rahab, there were misleading statements so as to save someone who was innocent and was serving with vigilance the cause of Christ. So I think it's important to recognize, on the one hand, that it's a maxim that if you're truly serving Christ, you will suffer persecution, and we are, in fact, called to recognize that as we, you know, are persecuted for Christ, we have eternity as our hope. We have eternity as our destiny. But that does not mean that we cannot be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. It doesn't mean that we can't even protect ourselves. We can protect ourselves against an evil aggressor. We did it not only as one nation against Hitler at one point, but by the same principle, we can do it as one individual against another.
Thank you so much, Hank. I have another question to ask you, and this has to do with one preacher that lived and died until 1968, William Marion Braham. His movement today is called the End Timers. I want to know if William Marion Braham was the prophet they said he is, the one that would come in the spirit of Elijah, or his false prophet.
Well, he's absolutely a false prophet. In fact, to your point, in terms of making predictions, he made a lot of false predictions, and we can now look and see firsthand that the predictions that he made were false predictions because the time has come and gone. He fancied himself as the angel to the end-time Church of Laodicea. He proclaimed that by 1977, all denominations would be consumed by the World Council of Churches under the control of the Roman Catholics, and that the rapture would take place and the world would be destroyed. But not only that, on top of false prophecies, he also taught false doctrine, including his communication that Trinitarianism is of the devil. So he is not someone that I would recommend. In fact, he is someone I wrote about in a book called Counterfeit Revival, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, Monday through Friday at this time, give us a call, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll answer your questions live on air. Thanks for tuning in.
On today's show, we've mentioned several resources that would be a great help to you or someone you know. So contact the Christian Research Institute and let us help equip you with just the right resource so you can defend the faith. Either call us at 888-7000-CRI, again that's 888-7000-CRI, or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. You're also welcome to visit our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, is an equipping audio CD from the Christian Research Institute compiled from 6 insightful interviews on the Bible Answer Man. For your gift this month, we will send you this helpful CD as our way of saying thank you for your faithful prayers and support. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism with the truth about objective morality. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact, and much more. Get your copy of The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, when you support the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. To remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274.